Part 6, Chapter 1. Leverage, leverage, Turl told himself as he went through company papers in his office. He must solve this riddle of Numph. With enough on the planetary director, Turl could begin his own project in earnest. Wealth and power on the home planet beckoned from the future. Only Numph could drop a mine bucket on him. And Turl was determined that once his project was completed, he was not going to spend 10 more years on this cursed planet. With enough on Numph, all he had to do was finish the project, obliterate all evidence, including vaporizing the animals, get his employment terminated, and there he'd be wallowing in luxury at home. But Numph was getting a little restive. In the last interview a couple of days ago, Numph had complained of the noise of the recon drone in its daily pass-by, and veiling it as a sort of compliment, he noted that the mutiny was not showing up on his lines. There was something on Numph. Turl was avidly certain of it. He was thumbing through a company publication, Metal Markets of the Galaxies, which was issued several times a year. It was supposed to go to the sales department, but there was none on this planet, since it sent its ore directly to home planet and had no sales except to the home company. Yet the publication was sent routinely to all mine sites through the galaxies, and Turl had fished this latest copy out of the incoming dispatch box. So many credits for this metal, and so many credits for another. Such and such credits for unsmelted ore of what percent? It was very dull. But Turl laboriously went through it, hopeful of some clue. From time to time, he watched his live screens, keeping check on the animal. The button camera around its neck was working well, and in the vicinity of the cage and nearby plateau, he had a broader view. It was a test to see whether the animal really was going to behave. The control box that monitored the cameras lay handy on Turl's littered desk. The animal so far had been very well behaved. Turl was struck by its orderly sense of priorities. It had somehow managed to turn the wounded horse over and get the packs off it. It had gotten some pitch from a tree and sealed the wound. It must have been effective, for the horse was now standing on shaky legs, a bit dazed, but munching at the tall grass. The animal had then staked out the other three horses, using a plaited type of rope that had come from the packs. One particular horse tried to follow the man-thing around, nudging with its nose. It struck Turl very odd that the man-thing talked to it, that the man-thing had also talked to the wounded horse. Very peculiar. Turl couldn't understand the language and listened intently to see whether the horses talked back. Maybe they did. Supersonic? They must say something, because the man-thing sometimes answered them. Was it a different tongue than the man-thing used to the two female creatures in the cage? Turl guessed there might be several such languages. Well, it was no matter, and not important. He was no chinko, he decided, with contempt for the old race.